You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 342 of Locked On Raptors for Friday, June 1st. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. The show is at Locked On Raptors, where there are links for every single episode. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network. There was an episode late last night that dropped after that ridiculous Game 1 of the Cavs-Warriors series. I believe Anthony Irwin and Adam Martis have that one. They kind of broke it down for 30 minutes or so, so make sure you check that out. I'm sure lots of J.R. Smith slander is involved there. And then that show is daily across the network all week as well with different hosts, so make sure you're checking that out. And if you find a host on the network that you like, subscribe, rate, and review their podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you find your podcast. It's very helpful. And if you find Locked On Raptors on iTunes, just it's the best way to support the show. It takes no time at all, and it's very helpful and makes me feel good inside and all that fun stuff. So thanks in advance for taking the time. All right, on today's show, we're continuing our player reviews, and joining me today, I have maybe the highest authority on Fred VanVleet. It is Katie Heindel. How's it going?
Pretty good. The preeminent Fred VanVleet scholar.
Yeah, I think that is a fair assessment of your work. I was thinking about doing Fred like last week, and then I couldn't bring myself to ask anybody else to talk about Fred than you, so I'm glad we could get this set up. Having Fridays off, pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so
June 1st too, you know? You're like, here's the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's feeling pretty good. So yeah, and Fred felt pretty good this season, so we're probably going to be mostly positive about this because there really wasn't all that much bad about Fred's season as opposed to, I don't know, like Serge Ibaka, who we spent an entire podcast being sad about last week. So we're just going to kind of dive into what I think was probably the biggest surprise of the season. Maybe OG Anunoby kind of coming out of nowhere and playing early was a bigger surprise, but Fred going from preseason obvious third-string point guard, definitely behind DeLon Wright, to being like the third or fourth best player on the team and finalist for the six-man award was pretty awesome, pretty out of nowhere. Katie, what was your favorite part of Fred VanVleet's season? Was there something that he did, a certain game, a certain moment, or is there like an overarching theme that makes you feel warm inside? Just spout off about your good Fred VanVleet feelings right now.
It's really hard for me to pick one moment, but I will say that I think overall for me, it wasn't a surprise. I feel like I was just waiting to see happen what I already knew was going to happen last year when I started to talk about Fred VanVleet, and it didn't seem like anybody believed me. And so I'm just like, I feel like, I mean, aside from there being a little bit of a blip in how the season ended for him, I think overall it just felt like the natural progress, like this natural, beautiful crescendo for Fred. And I think for me,
I can pick a moment. I think it's like when he started to come out ahead of DeLon. Nothing against DeLon, obviously, but when he became the kind of the first string contender for a point guard. And he just sort of like naturally surpassed everyone, and it was in this really like, I don't know, I feel like everybody was really happy for him and just like rooting for him, and it wasn't, there's no animosity, you know, even though like I think he and DeLon were pretty vocal about it in interviews about like jockeying for that spot. Like they both were aware somebody would have to get it, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to think like doesn't it feel like the season ended so long ago?
Yeah, it really does. It's been hard to think of like games. I just pull up the like the game log for each player and try to like jog my memory. Yeah, you were right, though. Like, I think the way that he kind of became a crunch time dude and one of the most important players on the team was very meritocratic. It wasn't like he was handed the job by any means. Like I said, like, early in the season, I totally predicted DeLon and Norm were going to be, like, the second unit backcourt, or DeLon and, I don't know, OG or DeLon and Miles or whoever. Like, I did not expect Fred to really factor in all that much. And then, again, the Fred VanVleet hipsters like yourself and Blake Murphy.
Don't call me that.
You know, last year was his first underground album that he released in 2006, 3 years before his big explosion in 2009, or something along those lines. But no, the people who believed in Fred, obviously revindicated, and like he just, it was like a slow climb, right? Like I think you mentioned, like the start of the season, he didn't play all that much. You know, it was like 10 minutes a game a lot of times. He would, you know, put together, you know, a couple of nice shooting lines here and there, but he kind of struggled from three early on, and that was always kind of the big thing about Fred was, hey, this guy shoots threes and no one else can, so have him on the court. And then he wasn't doing that very well. And I admit it, there were times where I was frustrated that Fred was playing so much, like late in games. I was like, you know, maybe not have him run every offensive possession when you have Kyle and DeMar on the court. And I still kind of believe that by the end of the year, but at the same time, he got much better. He became better at blowing by guys and sort of making plays at the rim despite being 5'11". And he just, it made a lot of sense to have him in those crunch time lineups. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had the best net rating in crunch time on the team, and I think the best overall net rating when he was on the court among regulars as well. Yeah, that's true too. Trailing only Lorenzo Brown, Nigel Hayes, and Bruno Caboclo on the team. So, like, it was all very earned that he became as important as he did. If there's a game that stands out to me, I think it's the game against the Cavs in January when Kyle and Serge were out and Fred came in for the second unit and they just, like, completely obliterated the Cavs in that second quarter. He finished with 22. He shot 6 of 8 from deep, and he was kind of like led that entire charge. Is there another game out there that kind of stands out to you? Because that, I think, is like his signature game, even though he had higher scoring ones.
No, I think for me, it's like these, again, that game was really like pretty phenomenal to watch. And I remember like the feeling of it. It felt like, oh, this is what the playoffs are going to be like. if we only knew. But I think for me, it's just like, and I think that's why maybe some people have a hard time, not like getting behind Fred, but because everything he does is sort of, it's very quiet. Like he really picks his spots. He kind of, you can see him sort of like learning and improving with every game. Like he doesn't usually make the same mistakes twice, game from one game to another. So I think for me, like always his best moments, and when I feel like he gets a little bit sassy, is when he starts to work to like steal the ball. When he's like, I don't know, he did that a lot more last year, I feel like, because he had much more like limited time on the court. And this year, it seemed like he's like, okay, I'll make like a splash. But this year, he played a lot more regularly, obviously. But yeah, whenever he like, he steals it, I just get so excited because you're like, oh, Fred's so fast. Like, he's so sassy. So, I don't know. Those are like, I wish there was someone could cut like a compilation of all of Fred's steals.
Yeah, yeah. And Fred's sassy moments as well, I think, would
doesn't have many, but...
No, I think the playoffs, there was a bit of edge there, because I think he was kind of mad because his shoulder hurt.
I think he was mad, and, yeah.
Like, I don't know, how did the playoffs go for you as a Van Vliet mark? You know, based on, you know, he got hurt in the last game of the year against the Heat. How did you feel about that? And then how did you feel about sort of his roller coaster of a playoffs? Because he came in game two, played 3 minutes, didn't do anything, and then got benched for the rest of the series pretty much until game six, where he came in and was kind of there as the Raptors blew it out open in the fourth quarter. And then the Cavs series comes around. He almost fights LeBron. He misses those two threes in game one that people got real upset about, even though I think they were shots that you want him to take. Just sort of take me through your roller coaster of emotions during the postseason and I guess the last game of the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bummer. Like, it was really apparent, I think, the fact that he, like, walked off. He, like, left the game when he was hurt, and I found, like, that was kind of alarm bells for me. Because he is sort of a guy that, like, he's either able to sort of walk it off or at least, like, you know, he seems to know himself enough to know when he's actually hurt, which is why this was kind of concerning, because he wasn't, it almost like he wasn't or didn't want to admit it to himself when it was happening. I mean, the timing sucked. Like, the timing was awful. I feel like he was kind of poised to have this really phenomenal postseason breakout. I didn't really get that, and I don't know, for me as like a fan, it was hard, kind of heartbreaking to watch him when he came back for those like really sad 3 minutes of that game. But like at the same time, you could see he just looked lost. Like, it wasn't so much that he was hurt, it's just like he was so out of sorts, which again is pretty unusual for him. I was happy like when he did come back against Cleveland, but again, I don't know if it was just like frustration in himself and in what happened, but even like for him to get in LeBron's face like that's pretty unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's not usually like a chippy, like he's not a player that backs down, but he's not usually like a chippy player in that sense. Sorry, there's a loud cat.
That's okay. The cat's also emotional about Fred's finish to the
year.
He's
still upset. He's as upset as I am. And I just feel like he probably felt like he got cheated out of this season that he wanted to have too, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows, like, he doesn't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is a good and sad segue into the next thing we're going to talk about, but I think he probably would have preferred to end the year out on a much higher note, considering he's, like, up to potentially leave, potentially stay, you know?
Mm-hmm. If there's any consolation for Fred, and, like, I want good things for Fred all around, it's that in those games he missed in the first round, the bench looked just completely lost and terrible and scared.
So
and,
lost.
Like, I could just see Fred buying a bigger bag, like, in between those games, because, it, like, that was just, it was so indicative of how important he was to that second unit this year. And, like, if you are the Raptors, and it seems like they're probably going to try to run it back, I don't know, things can happen, I guess, but, like, I think the coaching change probably signals that the players aren't going to change all that much. If you're trying to run it back, not having Fred to run that second unit is a big obstacle to trying to replicate whatever success you had this season. So, I think, I don't know, for you, is there any, like, price tag? I mean, and there's limits on how much he can be paid, but is there any price tag that's, like, too much to keep Fred around? What would you give up in order to have Fred VanVleet stay as a Raptor?
Like, who would I give up? Because I think that's kind of what it comes down to,
or it
right?
could just be, like, a thing in your yeah. life, like Lent, if you want to.
I mean, me personally, there's no price that's too high, but for the Raptors, I don't think they feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, to just, like, take a step back and, like, just play a bit of devil's advocate. If I was in the, I mean, now Casey's gone, but if I was like any of the other assistant coaches, I mean, I might be a little bit worried of the fact that you remove one guy. Granted, it's Fred, he's amazing, but you take one guy out and like your whole like second unit just looks completely lost, mm-hmm. like without a clue of what to do. It's kind of troubling. I mean, as a Raptors fan, that's troubling too, right? To just be able to lose the thread so easily. But I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know what's realistic. Like, I'm not a very good, like, realistically hoping person when it comes to like people like Fred. I'm just like, yeah, whatever it takes. But I mean, who do we ditch, like, ideally to keep him? And like, yeah. What's a number that makes sense? Like, okay, like if he gets his like max salary, that's like 25% of the cap, right? Something like that.
I think because he's a second round pick, I think he can only make like $8 or $9 million a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
He's a second rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he gets bumped up to like 8.5 or something, mm-hmm. like next year, like, I don't know. That feels to me fine considering like what Powell got and then like what Bismack got when he left. Mm-hmm. But like, it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't feel like that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think in order for him to stay, like, it's going to have to be a lot lower of a number. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, I'm just pulling up Shrewd Wikipedia on the CBA right now. I probably should have researched this beforehand, but it's the Gilbert Arenas rule because he's a second round pick.
Yeah.
So we can only make the team's mid-level exception per year, I believe. Yeah, something like that. So probably $8 or $9 million. And I think if you sign an offer sheet, you can do some weird stuff, like what the Nets did with Tyler Johnson or Alan Crabb, where they tried to backload it. But yeah, or Otto Porter too, I think. But yeah, it's not going to be a lot of money comparatively to some of the other guys on the team. Like, Fred won't be a top five paid player on the Raptors next season, even if he gets the full amount that he can get. So, like, I kind of think it's worth it to, you know, I guess it all comes down to what they want to do tax-wise, right? Because they could just re-sign him and go into the tax, and that's no problem.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I don't know if you want to run back the same team that just got shit-canned by the Cavs in the second round for the second straight year and pay the tax for that team, even though they were always kind of designed to pay the tax next year with this window they set up for themselves. Like, I guess it depends, right? But I think the way that Fred played this year, I think there were, like, a few different outcomes with him. He was either going to be bad enough or just, like, non-important enough that you could kind of get him back on a cheap deal. He was going to be good enough that you can't not sign him because he's so important to your team. Or, it, like, the middle ground, where I don't think he ended up being, was, you know, he's good but not so good that you're worried about losing him, and maybe if some team signs him, you're all right with that. Like, I think he was probably in the second category, where he was so good that you can't really afford to let him go. And, you know, it's like you're paying him $15, $20 million a year to keep him around, right? So I think you just do it and bite the bullet, and if you can kind of offload... I mean, Serge would be nice if you could get rid of Serge's money, but I don't think that's really realistic.
Yeah, I would love to get rid of Serge's money.
Yeah, but like we talked about this yesterday on the Valanciunas pod, like, JV probably doesn't deserve to be the fall guy, but he's probably the easiest guy to move, unless Norm is, but I think Norm kind of has some value that you don't want to totally give up on just yet because wings are so important. And Jonas, like, he just seems like the easiest guy to potentially move to sort of duck some tax trouble, but... I don't feel great about it because he was so good this year.
Yeah, but he always sort of has these, like, late season... I mean, this is not the Jonas pod, but, like, he has these, like, late season flourishes, and you're like, he is improving.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't usually start that way in the next season. But yeah. I don't know. I think with what we've seen of Fred, like, how far he's come, like, how much he developed, and you know just, like, the way he is, he's going to go off in the off season and just like work very hard on improving like every aspect of his game that he felt wasn't there yet, especially coming into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everything that was lacking. So it's not like it's not like he's one of these guys, you know, he's going to get this bigger paycheck and he's not going to do the work for it. Right.
Yeah. He's going to work on his speed. He's going to try to strengthen up. He's going to work on the user friendliness of his Shopify website. He's going to
like he already took a vacation. So he's done with that. And he's like ready. He's like ready to get back to work all summer.
Meanwhile, DeLon Wright's in Ibiza. Just
is he?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Just that seems like trouble, but hey. Have fun, DeLon. Yeah, like, I think the Raptors should keep Fred. I don't know, how scared of you of some other team coming in and swooping in for him? Because I think, as much as it kind of sucks for Fred, it might limit the amount of money he can make, it's not really a good time to be a free agent for anybody. And restricted free agents, unless it's the Nets going out and signing someone to an offer sheet, like, no one ever does that anymore. Like, I think the last one I could actually remember was, like, the Raptors trying to get Chris Duhon, and like it doesn't happen very often, so I'm not all that concerned that some team's gonna be like, all right, Fred, you probably very good backup point guard, here's all this money, come be our very good backup point guard. Like, I think other teams are gonna have bigger fish to fry than getting a backup point guard. But I don't know, how scared are you of some other team like eyeing up Fred and saying, yeah, let's bet on him right now?
I'm weirdly nervous of the Raptors preeminent like dumping ground of Sacramento eyeing him. I mean, like, I don't know, like, who knows what's going on with the Knicks, but I feel like they could use a decent point guard too.
Oh, are you disparaging Frankie Smokes right now?
He's pretty young, right? He's like 19, so I think he's like on the come up. He's a great player, but
they also have Emmanuel Mudiay, who is supposed to be good in theory.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know,
I couldn't
Jared
say that
Jack's
with a straight face.
Like, kind of, he's getting up there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, like, yeah, it just doesn't all hinge on the Knicks. I was just thinking about this, like, what seems realistic. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a scramble for all the big, like, free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be this kind of inevitable thing where all these teams look at their rosters and are like, oh, shit, like, we need to, like, plug some holes, right? Like, mm-hmm. we need to fill some gaps. And that's where I think they might start creeping around Fred. Like, I hope we can lock him down before it gets to that, like, too late in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you saying that does make me feel a little bit better. Like, yeah, maybe it's not like he's this, like, top, like, get that everybody's after, but I also want us to be able to pay him what he deserves, like, what's fair, you know? Like, I wouldn't want him to stick around, like, he said, like, he's a loyal guy. I think he would stick around for less, but, like, I don't think we should pay him less.
I agree. Get your money, Fred, in any means, by any means necessary. And the thing is, he said in his post-game thing that, like, he wants to win first and foremost. And I don't think any winning team is going out there and saying, yes, let's go spend all this money on a backup point guard. Because that's not really, like, the weakness for a lot of really good teams. And, like, I think if I was to narrow down, like, the biggest candidates to do it, the Nets probably in a normal year would be, but they have both D'Angelo Russell and Jeremy Lin. Like, they don't really need a point guard at this point. The Bulls have Chris Dunn. They're probably, like, not to worry about. The Magic, I think, would be the most obvious fit because every former Raptor plays for the Magic.
Yeah,
and they also don't have point guards. But I don't think Jeff Weltman's going to do Masai like that. I can't imagine that happening. And then the Hawks, if they get rid of Dennis Schroeder, maybe that's one where you worry. But, like, is Fred going to sign for an extra $1 or $2 million with the Hawks per year and be on that team and sort of just wallow away in Atlanta with that terrible team for the next 4 years? Like, I don't know about that. The Suns probably are drafting Doncic. So, like, I don't think they really need a point guard at this point with him and Devin Booker. The Grizzlies don't have any money and are too dumb to pull off something like that. The Mavs maybe, but, like, also they probably seem like they have bigger fish to fry. Like, they might be going after, like, Boogie or something like that. The Kings, yeah, but they also have De'Aaron Fox. Like, I don't know. I don't really see an obvious fit out there. And then you get into, like, the better teams and they just don't have any money. So the more I think about it, the more I'm pretty sure he's going to be back. It might be at a lesser figure than he's worth, but maybe it's like a shorter deal, like a prove him deal, and then he can get paid in a couple years down the line, something like that. I don't know. I feel like from your gut, what do you think the likelihood that Fred's back next year is, without any inside information? Just how are you feeling about it right now?
I think he's back. I mean, you're just running through almost like the entire almost every franchise and like explaining why it's not likely to make me feel a lot better. I feel like that was just an exercise for my anxiety level, but I feel like it, his work ethic, the way he's developed with the team, like, it fits very well with, I mean, what we know of the Raptors so far. Like, I know the coach thing is like a huge question, but I don't think at this point they're going to bring in a coach that's like, hey, I'm going to change like the way we do everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they definitely need some tweaks and some big changes here and there. But, like, you know, Fred is a misfit on so many of those teams that you mentioned. It does make sense that he'll just like stay and continue to develop, mm-hmm. and also just like, you know, shine and like be in a place of prominence on this team.
If some team were to come out of the woodwork and try to sign Fred VanVleet, who do you think is the most deserving of Fred's services?
Oh. I don't know. Like a nice team?
Yeah.
Like a team full of, like, good guys.
That's earned the right to employ Fred the way Fred has earned the right to earn all the money.
Like, what about, like, Denver or something?
That's the team I thought of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel like he would be he would be a good fit there. I would be happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Haltingly. But they're like a not evil team. I think they would have a good place for him. I don't want to talk about it, but that's the first team that comes to mind.
If the stupid Wizards weren't so stupid and cap-strapped, I'd be terrified of them trying to make him the answer at backup point guard, because he actually would be their answer at backup point guard that they've been looking for 10 years. But they don't have any money because they're stupid, so I'm not
sure. And they're evil, that. So yeah. He wouldn't fit in there.
And had the Bucks not already paid Dele all the money, I'd be scared of that, but they paid Dele all the money, so it's probably fine.
A mistake that will haunt you just to your grave.
I think maybe the Pacers would be deserving as well, but they have Corey Joseph already. I don't think we can look at a Pacers team with both Fred and Corey and not be depressed, so... But, like,
you know, maybe Detroit too, but, like, I don't think they're going to, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, a team fit, the Pistons, maybe. Yeah.
Actually, erase what I said about the Pacers. They employ both Darren Collison and Lance Stevenson. They've made their bed with shitty people, and they don't deserve Fred. Never mind.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back. I think it'll be fine. Last part of this, he's a six-man finalist alongside Eric Gordon and Lou Williams. He's probably not going to win, but make the argument, Katie, that Fred VanVleet should, in fact, win the award.
Isn't this whole podcast the argument? And, like, everything that I stand for? I don't think he's going to win. I think probably Lou Williams is going to win, though. Like, that makes no sense to me. But I guess that goes back to what I was saying earlier in terms of just, like, Fred's not really, like, an optics kind of player.
Yeah.
Like, unless you watch him and have watched him kind of consistently, he's not really, like, he's not getting thrown on, like, a lot of the highlight reels. Like, he's not, that's just, like, not his style of play.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, you know, he's Steady Freddy. I'm glad that it's an honor that he was nominated.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think anyone who's smart would pick him to win. So I'm sorry if you don't like reliable, good basketball players.
On playoff teams, also.
On playoff teams, like, also, who cares?
Yeah, I just don't think, Lou or Eric Gordon really fit into the spirit of the award. Like, Lou started 20 games and also played 33 minutes a game. Like,
yeah.
I know there's, like, caps for how many games you can start to win the award. There should be caps for how many minutes you play, because there's, like, I feel like it's kind of going around the spirit of the award to go to a guy who's playing starter level minutes. And Eric Gordon's the same. He played 31 minutes a game. He started 30 of his 69 games. Like, that doesn't seem very fair.
Okay, I have a new argument, because my argument was kind of shitty. but that's a good point, because I do, when I think of six men, I kind of think of these, like, accelerators, right? Like, the accelerator players who, yeah, like, maybe start kind of quiet, and then by the end of the year, like, they're all you're hearing about. And, like, if you look at Fred's minutes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You know, from, like, the beginning of the season to the end, when he started, he was playing, like, I don't know, he was still playing, like, maybe averaging, like, 10 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
By midseason, he was up to, like, 15 to 20, and, like, by the end, he's playing, like, he was playing about, like, 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, but finished averaging 20, which I think is right in the sweet spot for what a true, pure six man would actually average. So, yeah.
It's all rigged. It's all rigged anyway.
Also, like, defense matters, and I don't think Lou Williams or Eric Gordon play that.
No.
Outside of,
do
I guess,
know
Eric
how?
Gordon.
I don't think so.
Eric Gordon was fine against the Warriors, I guess. Lou Williams, I think I'm just soured on the Lou Williams experience because he was such a garbage Raptor, and I hated every second of him on the Raptors. And, like, to have Fred VanVleet be a six-man candidate 2 years or 3 years after Lou was one for the Raptors, it's kind of washed away my memory of that, because that was terrible. And this is a much more noble six-man case, I think. So I would, I think
he's
just made the
noble candidate.
Yeah, he's the true winner of the award. I think we've just made the argument. He also didn't start a single game, so I think, once again, on technicality, Fred VanVleet should be sixth man of the year. But we'll see how
that
goes.
And that's why I want to see him come back. I want him to start.
Ooh. Like, over Kyle?
Just for fun, one time. You know,
okay.
Get a new coach, get them there, like, hey, I'm going to mix it up.
I was pretty bummed that they didn't start the bench mob in a game, like, late in the, like, against, like, the Magic in the last week of the season. They should have done that.
Yeah, why not?
It was
why
earned.
Not?
Yeah. This was a lot of fun, Katie. Fred VanVleet is delightful, and so is this podcast. Do you have anything you'd like to plug right now?
Well, since we were talking about NBA summer vacations and the impending beginning of summer vacation season, I just want to say that for fans of NBA Summer Vacation Watch, the column, keep your eyes peeled, because it will be coming back.
Hell
this
yeah. Excellent. That's at Raptors Republic, right, or somewhere else?
No, it's at Vice Sports.
Awesome.
Because it is league-wide, and I lurk and troll the accounts of every player from completely random, like, third-string bench guy to the LeBrons of the league.
So it was, like, the best day in the history of that column, the day where Kyle O'Quinn and Kyle Lowry took a photo together, with Kyle being skinny on top of a mountain. Is that...
I did have that in there. That was good. But I think the best day was probably, I mean, Dwayne Wade's, like, European tour last year was a good, strong way to start.
Right, right.
NBA Summer Vacation Watch, but I don't think anything topped LeBron singing on the beach alone in Mexico.
Everyone stay tuned for that and much more from Katie, because Katie rules. We are going to be probably doing another one of your fanfic narrations at some point this summer as well, correct?
We absolutely should.
Yeah.
We need to pick one, though.
Yeah, definitely. Send me some samples.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Are you still in the trivia tournament, or did you lose? I can't remember.
Oh, I lost. I was going to ask you, how's that going?
Oh, I haven't. After the playoffs ended, I kind of forgot to do it. So
do you know what other game shows, when they're like, we've brought somebody back, and then they're like, here's this evil person that's like back to stir it up again. I would love to come back as a guest spot.
Like the late entrance on
later
The Bachelorette?
On, like, maybe like semifinals, just as like a nightmare round or something.
Yeah, it's like, actually this is a 3-person matchup and Katie is here to torment all of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea. Maybe
I won't even answer questions, I'll just distract people.
We'll definitely take that under consideration. Katie, this was awesome. Thanks so much for coming on. Listeners, please subscribe, rate, review the podcast on iTunes. It's the best way to support the show. Follow Katie at whatevs on Twitter as well. I'm at Woodley Sean. You know all the places to find my stuff. It's pretty much just this podcast these days, but because I am lazy as hell and have no ideas because I've talked all of my ideas out of my brain and I can't write anything right now, but I'm sure something will come up at some point. And yeah, stay tuned for all that. Locked On Network, the Locked On NBA mock draft is starting, I think, June 13th. I probably won't be involved unless I manage to trade into the mock draft, but make sure you're tuning in if you're interested in the draft. We'll do 6 picks a day for 5 days. David Locke will do it and sort of be the host of it all, and then I think we'll have like a prospect analyst as well on there. Should be great, so stay tuned for that. And until next time, we'll be back on Monday, I guess, with another player review episode. Maybe a coach will be hired by then. I doubt it, but maybe. So stay tuned for Monday's episode, and have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.